Hello, this is Thomas from the future. I recorded this whole podcast and I realized in the beginning of it, I was talking like it was going to suck and because the reading kind of sucked and I didn't really prepare. And then I did the podcast and it turned out to be really funny. And I thought anyway, and I thought of a bunch of stuff and it was funny and I loved it and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So just wanted to say, ignore the warning I give in the beginning of the podcast about how crappy it's going to be because it's not. It's actually pretty good. So, without further ado, I'll cut it back to past Thomas, and so long from future Thomas. Hey everyone, welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 24. This stupid Bible. I don't know what to tell you. Right when I think the Bible is going to redeem itself and, you know, be everything I want it to be, so funny and everything like that, it just becomes completely boring again. And the first three chapters of Leviticus I thought were golden. I couldn't stop thinking of jokes, but problem is, the next four chapters are just the same thing, pretty much. I can't really make the same jokes. That would be kind of, that would be sinking to God's level. I don't want to do that. But, it just talks about, all these chapters are about is talking about different ways and reasons for sacrificing stuff. That's like it. It's like details of what you should do and everything. So, kind of sucks. I think what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go through it, make any jokes I can, speak about anything that comes to mind, and then I think maybe at the end I'll do an overall point about it that now I'm worried people might not get to the end. Well, maybe if I make it short enough, people will look at the time and think, oh, that's easy. Or you could just skip to the end, whatever. All right, chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And anywhere he killed it should be before the Lord, right? Not just in that stupid place. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. You know, I was just thinking, first of all, how many bulls do they have in wherever, whatever town they're in? And aren't they going to run out pretty soon? I mean, you gotta, if you sin, take sacrifice a bull. If you think you owe God some gratitude, sacrifice a bull. If you think that you need to appease God, sacrifice a bull. And if you accidentally sin, sacrifice a bull. And if the priest sins, sacrifice a bull. You know, like, I don't know. Just seems like that one, and they only have one place. It's just that one tabernacle. It's just going to be a slaughterhouse, you know. Seems kind of ridiculous. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord. Not six, you shall be killed if it's six, but seven. If it's eight, you shall also be killed. So I just realized I was like a Monty Python. Four is right out. Three is the number. And sprinkle the blood before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood, upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay. If there's anyone, and I don't care, this is a podcast, it's going to be, I'm going to host this thing forever, I'm going to leave it around forever, because the Bible's not going anywhere. If there's anyone who listens to this, who gets this far in this podcast, and still thinks that this kind of crap, that God told these people to do this, to do all this immensely detailed stuff, like take the horn, the blood, sprinkle it seven times, then put some of it on the horn, and then if there's anyone out there listening who thinks that this is real and that God told the people to do this, please, please email me. It could be, I could be 80 years old and I get an email about it. I just, why would you think that? Why? It's stupid. Why would a God say this? Why would any sort of all-powerful being need us to do any of this garbage? Why would an all, it's so contradictory. Why would an all-powerful being even create us? There's no possible reason. There's nothing. Try to think of anything and email me and I'll tell you why that's stupid. There's no reason that an all-powerful being that needs nothing, that's cannot be change, is whole, is completely intact. You know, there's nothing. It's a perfect being, can go through no changes, no emotions, no feelings of gratification, nothing. There's no reason to create a species, you know, us, and create a it's so terrible. It's so terrible. Comments at thomasinthebible.com. Hopefully it'll still exist in the year 72, when somebody listens to it, gets this far, who actually believes in this garbage. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it he shall take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. With this language, you never know where you stand in the sentence. I usually try to, you know, get my intonation to sort of reflect where I am in the in what clause, you know, is sort of, it's just sort of a natural reading thing to do. But it's like Shakespeare. Sometimes you just never know where the hell you are. You don't know if he's finishing a sentence or ending it, or there's a clause within a clause within, who knows. And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh with his head. I wonder when the bullocks were killed, did they say, "Ah, bullocks, I'm sacrificed, damn it." Ah, just wondering. And all his flesh with his head and with his legs and with his inwards and his dung. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured, and burn him on the wood with the fire where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for this. What do you know? A bullock shall offer, five guesses, anyone, what shall they offer? If you guessed a young bullock, you were right. You know what? I just thought of something. You know what they should have done? God should have done, you know, they, the people making up God, but they should have been, well, and if he was an all-powerful God of this mindset, even though it's contradictory, like I've said, but if there was a God and he was demanding these kind of sacrifices, you know what he should have done? He should have like, depending on the level of the sin, like the kind of sin, like, demanded different animals be sacrificed, you know, like different levels of difficulty. You take the Lord's name in vain, okay, whatever, you can sacrifice a dove or whatever, something simple, you know, something easy, whatever, something around, you know, kill a man, you gotta sacrifice a bull for that one. But say you're like a pedophile or something horrible, then God's like, you need to find what is called a polar bear, and it must be, you know, it must be sacrificed in this way, on this altar, so you... You send everybody, all the worst sinners you send around looking for animals that are like impossible to find, you know, maybe like some obscure insect that's like somewhere in the jungles somewhere of, South America. That would be what I would do if I were this kind of God. Just on the, if someone's a real bastard, like if they're like a serial killer or, you know, some horrible person, you just pick like the worst. And you need to sacrifice to me a Bengal tiger, a male, aggressive, you know, that kind of thing. It'd be funny. I thought it was funny. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the bullock shall say, ah, bollocks. Sorry, I find it funny. I don't know. I don't know why it's called bollock, not bull or anything else, cow, something. Bullock. I didn't know that. Maybe that's what they're, that's that word. I just didn't know. And the priest that is anointed, I wonder, the first person who called a bullock a bull, they must have just been like, dude, why are you have to be so cool. Oh, you can't say bullock. You got to call bullock a bull. Oh, bull, a bull. Must have sounded so dumb to them back then. They're like, oh, you're real cool. Groovy, man. Bull. Oh, hey, look at this guy. Did you see this guy? Oh, I can call it a bull because I'm cool. You know, it must have been one of those younger generation things. They're like, that's the sign of their, back then that was a sign of like a major generational change. You know, some fathers like, so they were out herding the bullocks and one of them said something about a bull and darn it, I just don't understand these kids anymore. Let's see. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. All his fat? Like him personally or the bullock? That'd be interesting if God just snuck that. Oh, and also cut all your fat out and burn it at the altar. That would be... Ooh. Starting to get into one of those weird horror movies or something. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. So as long as you can kill an innocent animal, then you're forgiven. Because you know what? Fair's fair. God's going to forgive you if you sacrifice an innocent animal. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock, the same way, dummy. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, and he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, please, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. So I wonder if, like, maybe, like, Hitler would try to, like, get in through this one. He's Hitler's, like, reviewing his Bible, you know, the part of the Bible that Jews read. I'm sure Hitler would do that. Not. But he's like, okay, if a ruler... Toward the end of his days, we knew he'd really screwed up. Okay, if a ruler does wrong, if a ruler sinned and does somewhat through ignorance, all right, so Jews were people. I didn't know that. Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't know they were humans like everybody else. Sorry, screwed up, you know. Whoops, killed 9 million of them or whatever. So maybe Hitler was like, oh, yeah, okay, so if I just sacrifice a goat, I just got to find one without blemish. I don't know exactly what that means on a goat. I'm not a good judge of goat looks, but, you know. Does it work for him, or is it just for somebody who does something? I don't know. I just hate this, like, catch-all of sacrificing an animal for anything you do. Like, somehow that God's like, I'm really mad. Oh, an animal. Okay, I'm not so mad. That's fine. All right, fair's fair. You did it. You did, you know, I understand. You're free to go. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger. This is so different than the last couple times we heard it. And put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. Whoa. And shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. Whoa, that's so much different than two paragraphs ago when he said the exact same thing. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Just like that. And if any one of the common people have sinned through ignorance while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, Or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish. Oh, a female. Ooh, God's really changing it up. So if you're a person and you sin without, I'm not sure how that was even different than any of the other ones. Let's see. If he's a person and he sin, sins, I don't see how that's different. But anyway, if for this slightly different scenario, hold on now, you need to get a female kid of the goats without blemish. Woo. Yeah, that's your God, everyone who believes in this stupid garbage God. Oh, I know, it's the old law, it's not in effect. Yeah. Why was it in effect ever? Sorry, don't want to repeat myself too much. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And this is starting to read like an IRS publication. It's getting a little confusing. There must have been just attorneys and people figuring out exactly you go to one of them and you're like, okay, here's the thing. I pushed a kid over. I don't know. I got mad. What do I need to do? And they're like, oh, geez. Okay. They bust out this huge freaking book, poof. Okay. Were you ignorant of it? You think, were you ignorant of it? No, not quite ignorant of it. I guess I probably knew it was wrong. Okay. Okay. And switch different book. Okay. Okay. Did you know that kids were people? Yeah. 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 I knew kids. Geez, you're a horrible person. Okay. So you knew it was a sin. You did it. What month? Okay. On what street? Yeah, okay, got that. And are we? Was this in Old Covenant times or New Covenant? Okay, Old Covenant times. Yeah, got it. And I got it. You need to sacrifice a female goat with a black stripe on its left leg above the knee, and you need to burn half of it outside and then bring the rest inside. Eat the kidneys. seriously, I would have, after reading all this, 10 times, if I sinned, or if someone named a random sin, I could not tell you what in the world you were supposed to do about it, according to this law. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, the fat that is taken away off the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. Are you getting all this, everyone? And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar, like every time. And he shall take away the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. That's the end of chapter 4. On to the next chapter. Actual wording, unclean creeping things. And if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. I don't even know, guys. I'm not even going to sum this up. It's just BS. Who cares? Something about, I don't know. Something about some really confusing thing. Super confusing rules. I think basically it says, if you don't know that you've sinned, once you find out, then you've sinned, or something like that. It's sort of like, yeah, duh. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall Confess that he hath sinned in that thing. Oh, and guys, guess what he should do? Guess what he should do? Should he plant a tree? No. Should he do a kind deed to a stranger? No, no, shouldn't do that. Okay. Another guess. What would someone... Okay, God, you've sinned. What would God want you to do? Pray? No, no, it's not that. Be a good person. Promise not to do it again. No? No, it's not that. Ugh, I just can't think... Donate to the church? No, not exactly, although that would help. Oh, I know. Bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. What do you know? Another sacrifice. Weird. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think it was going to be a sacrifice. Not this time. No. Not this time. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall, like, if none of the lambs, like, or sheep, I guess, agree to go. You know, he can't bring one. He can't find a lamb to ask to the sacrificing, like the prom or whatever. Hey, Mindy. I don't know. Are you? How's it going? Yeah, me too. Are you? I know. Hold on. Do you want to go with me to the sacrifice on Saturday night? Oh, you already have something to do. No, stupid. I knew that. Yeah, I know. I'm sure you have something better to do than go to the thing with me. I'm so dumb. Yeah, I was just kidding. I didn't really need you to go with me or anything. Like, I already have, like, two dates. That's what I thought. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck. Oh, that's nice. Wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a semicolon. Colon. It is a sin offering. There you go. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him, just like that. That's all you gotta do. Like, even for killing someone, I guess, apparently. But if he not be able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. Stupid book. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he hath sinned in one of these. What? And it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and a sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord, guess what? A ram without a blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he I don't care what that means, sorry, I'm not going to sum it up. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. That's the end of chapter 5. I've actually taken up quite a bit of time already. I'm trying to move through this now. So, let's go on to chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin, and Moses, again, it must be writing this down frantically, like, God, I can't keep track of all this bullshit. If a soul sin, soul sincere, and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which, and lie, I guess it's tell a lie, not lie with his neighbor, like in the biblical sense. Although this is in the Bible, so I guess they'd both be in the biblical sense, but one would be in a more biblical sense. Never mind. Lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found out that which is lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of these that a man doeth, sinning therein. So I think Moses here, who's writing this, by the way, it's not God. Oh, God doesn't exist. I forget if I've mentioned that before. I guess now Moses is just trying to find like every possibility of something you could do wrong. He names like 7 like things like, you lost something and then lied about losing it. You lie about, you know, you borrow something and don't give it back. You steal something. I just find it kind of funny how he does that. Then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he had found. And then he has to, you know, he has to say all the examples of all the things he just said, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the 5th part more thereto, and boom, 20% interest. And give it unto him whom it appertaineth, to whom it appertaineth, like the notes you write, to whom it may appertaineth, in the day of his trespass offering. In the day, the same day, oh, the same day of his trespass offering, never mind. And he shall bring his trespass, guess what, if you can, he has to do to make up for this. He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. What's the offering? Is it goodwill, prayer, or is it a ram without blemish out of the flock? What do you know? A ram without blemish. Man, how are you guys not guessing these? I don't get it. With thy estimation for a trespass offering, it's trespass offering. I don't know why I keep saying it. I'm sorry. I just get bored with it and try to say the words different way. I know. Shut up. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything at all he hath done in trespassing therein. Oh, so I love this. This last little bit was saying, this is maybe the most pointless thing ever. No, I shouldn't say that. I've read a lot of pointless things in this book. This is a completely pointless thing. It says, so it's giving a commandment. If you steal something, give it back. Is the commandment. Like, it really is. It says, if you steal something, you must give it back with interest. It says, what kind of a stupid commandment is that? Either you're going to follow God and just not steal in the first place, or you don't give a crap what God says to do after you steal. You know, like, you're cool with the theft part. You know, you're like, oh no, it's cool. God doesn't care if I steal, as long as I give it back with interest the same day. You know, like, is that a real person? Does that person actually exist? No, they don't exist. Or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall restore. Oh, I already read that. So restore it all on the day of the offering. Oh, wow. I already read most of that, actually. Okay, let's see. A couple of verses. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And guess what? Guess what, people? What comes next? You should almost be able to say it by now. Even if you don't know what it means, just repeat the words. And it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. All the priest has to do is make an atonement, and it's all forgiven. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto morning. and the fire of the altar shall be the burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, or God will be very put out. And the I wish I had said that. I would have chuckled and said, yeah, all right, Bible, fair enough. Well played, but no, I added that. Of course you knew that, because it was so brilliant. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. You know, then it must still be there to this day if God's issuing this commandment. It must be an altar with a fire that never goes out where they murder masses of animals, right? This is the eternal book. I would want to be doing what God asked me to do eternally if I were them. Just saying. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord before the altar. I think by offer they mean eat. The sons of Aaron shall stuff their faces of it before the Lord. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour and the meat offering and of the oil thereof and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation shall they eat it. It shall not be bacon with leaven. Yeah, we've learned this by now. Nothing leavened. Never anything leavened. We get it. You don't like leavening or yeast or whatever. Like it's some evil thing. All because God took the people out of Egypt before they had time to make their bread rise. You know, call me a contrarian, but I'm not saying this just to be contrary. If I had, let's say, okay, if I came from a people who had to leave a place and didn't have time for their bread to rise, first of all, I probably would forget about it. First order of business, I would forget about it. I would say, what are we doing? What are we building? What are we doing? Who am I, you know, I would get on with my life. And if someone said, hey, remember that time when we had to eat bread that hadn't risen? I'd be like, what are you even talking about? I don't even remember. I don't even remember what we ate because we had to get the H out of Egypt. That's all I remember. So that's first off. But second off, say I did remember. You know what I would do to celebrate that? I would eat the crap out of some leavened bread. I would do the opposite of that. If you're poor and you become rich, do you celebrate that by being poor again? No, you'd celebrate like say you come from a poor family and you get a lot of money. Do you celebrate by throwing away your money and wearing rags? No, you celebrate by treating yourself and spending money wisely and having money and having nice things and taking care of that kind of thing. You go the opposite way to celebrate. You don't go back to the. Also, it's such a minor event. Who cares? Their bread what didn't rise. Big freaking BFD. Who cares? I don't understand this. The religious mind. It's so stupid. Anyway, all the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. And you know what this is? Okay, bacon of demons, sin offering. It sounds like this is, okay, I know this isn't, we're in the Jewish part of the Bible, and this is going to sound kind of ignorant. This sounds like the Catholic mass, because it's unleavened bread, so it's like the little bread wafers they eat. And it's an offering, and everyone has to eat it. Huh, sort of sounds like it. I mean, it's not directly it. It's not obviously because this is the body of Christ and all that, but I wonder if this is sort of where that comes from a little bit. Nah, I don't know. Who cares? And the Lord spake unto Moses, as he usually does, this is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a meat offering perpetual, half of it in the morning and half thereof at night. In a pan shall it be made with oil, and when it is baked, bake in with an N instead of a D at the end. Thou shalt bring it in, and the bacon pieces of the meat off... Oh, bacon. Man, I'm getting hungry. Of the meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Who wouldn't want the sweet savor of bacon? And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord, and shall be wholly burnt. Ugh, why ruin it? For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth it for the sin shall eat it. Oh, how convenient. How convenient that they get to eat it. Hmm. So they don't have to do work. They just get to lie, and they get to eat. Wow, what a good scheme. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon was sprinkled in the holy place. Wow, you really need to tell us if we spill blood on our clothes to wash it. Like we weren't going to, like we're just going to be like, nah. But the earthen vessel wherein is sodden shall be broken, and if it be sodden in a brassen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. It is most holy. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. That's the end of chapter 6. Alright, chapter 7 is a long one, and we are already, a lot of time. I'm really surprised about this. And just to, I think I'm going to, this is going to be funny to you guys, because the time is going to be all screwed up. I'm going to put a message at the beginning of the podcast, because this has been a much better podcast than I thought. I actually am liking a lot of this stuff, and all of it, I just made up on the spot. Because I didn't have anything. I read it over and I was like, gosh, there's just nothing here. And then, I don't know, thought of a bunch of jokes while I was reading it to you guys. So yeah, no fun. But I got to try to get through this last chapter. Likewise, it is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they shall kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering. And the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof in the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver, with the kidneys, he shall take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy... Oh, what do you know? The priests get to eat it. Again. And the sin, as the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. And all the meat offering that is baken in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan shall be the priests that offer it. Oh, what do you know? The priest gets to eat it. Again, still, now. They don't even try to hide it. They don't just say, like, and the priest will dispose of it. Don't worry about it. He's just going to take it to the dumpster next door. You know, they don't say that. They say, no, priest gets to eat it. It's good to be the priest. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, as much as one another. One as much as another, sorry. Yep, not even trying to hide it. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, so back then they used to celebrate when the pilgrims just came to America, 1600 years later, or I don't know, where are we, negative 800, so it's 2400 years, I don't know. They saw it coming and decided to celebrate it. Unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. So just how they like it, I guess. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest's that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offering. Oh, what do you know? The priest gets it. Oh, wait, I've already mentioned that 20 times, but it's still funny. The priests get to eat everything. They do nothing. They lie, and they get to forgive people's sins and eat everything. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Just in case you were wondering what to burn things with. That's how stupid these people were, apparently. Oh, I need to... It just said burn this. Did it say with what? No, I don't... burn it with... what burns things? I don't know. Dirt? Does dirt burn things? No. It's a stick. Do I beat it? If I throw it, do I eat it? What burns? I don't remember. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. So don't eat any of your sacrifice, apparently. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. Whatever. It shall be burnt with fire. Burnt with fire again. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of a man, any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the breast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. No using fat for anything. Okay. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. I should have guessed that. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be fowl or beast, in any of your dwellings. Do people eat a lot of blood? Am I the only one that doesn't really eat blood? Like, this was a big problem. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Well, I'm sure he probably already is cut off from his people. They're like, guess what's that weirdo eating? Blood? Get out of here, dude. That's ugh. Gross. I cut you off from us. Say we. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the beast it shall bring, that the breast? I've read beast so many times. The fat of the breast it he shall bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. A wave offering? What is that? And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. What do you know? They get to eat again. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. I don't know what that means. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. So now they're divvying it up. Oh, man. So while they're writing this, Aaron's family is like, oh, I get the right shoulder if they bring a peace offering on a Tuesday with a heave offering on a, you know. They're divvying it up in the book right now, in the holy book. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron, and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to the minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord had commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice and the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Done. Wow, just wanted to get through that. This is already a long one. I just wanted to say, I had a point to make at the end, but geez, I don't even need to. It's already 45 minutes. Well, I'll just make it briefly. God, okay, so I read all this commentary, right? And obviously it's Christian, Catholic, whatever commentary, because all they do is talk about Jesus. And we're in the Old freaking Testament, and they talk about, and they talk about how all this is related to Jesus. Like, all these animal sacrifices were just in play until Jesus could come down and sacrifice himself. So just think about that for a minute. I'll try to be real quick. God has, it's all God proving a point to himself. God has decided that we're all so sinful. So then first we have to sacrifice animals to him until he can decide to send down his own son for us to murder. And then somehow that proves a point to himself, and then we're all saved. It's so stupid. I know that's nothing profound, but just think of it in those terms. Like, that is what it is. It's all God's doing. We're not even doing anything, really. We're just sinning, and then Jesus was murdered a while ago. So as long as we accept that, then we're fine under their view. And it's just like, it's sort of an elaborate point for God to prove to himself. It doesn't. Anyway. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. That turned out to be a great podcast, I got to say. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So I'll see you tomorrow for the end, last day of week number, what is this, week 5? Wow. Awesome. See you guys.